Wow, those are pretty.
Okay.
I'm going to save those for later because we have so many moving parts this morning. So, first of all, a warm welcome to our 10th anniversary celebration or birthday celebration. Thank you for coming. Who knew it would be a cold and rainy morning? I would have believed 90 degrees. I would have believed tornadoes. But cold in April. And thank you, too, for creating this church that serves and has served so many people. So let me just give you an overview. In lieu of a talk and meditation today, I just want us to walk down memory lane because there's so many good stories. I've asked a few people to tell you about their slice of the church's history, and I will introduce each one. Kit and I will bring you up to date on where we are now. We were latecomers to this party, but we have no plans to leave now. Right? Just checking. And then we'll pass around the mic and let you all tell stories too. And I thought about how to try to focus those stories. So here's your question in advance. You can be thinking about it. How did you know, when did you know, that this was the place and these were your people? It might have been an event. It might have been a feeling. You just can tell those stories. The church actually started as an idea, as all things do, very metaphysical. Everything starts in thought. It was an idea with a group of women who had a mastermind group. Jan McGowan was one of them, with Sonia Herford and Gigi Benno, who are also here. So Jan, you're on. No, they are.
I know it. Oh, my word. Ellen is so right. A great idea is valueless unless accompanied by physical action. God gives us creative ideas, and it's our job to get our feet moving. And we might have been scared at first, and there may have been some rough roads and some interesting stories to tell. There, whoo. Yeah. But you're so, look at this. What it started was an idea that seven women, we really missed the unity congregations that we had come from in larger cities. And we missed that camaraderie, that like-mindedness, that truth-seekingness. And so we began to start something. Not only was Bev Allen, Sonia Herford, Gigi Benno, Glenda Bell, Kathy Scott Perry.
Yep.
And there were others that came and went from that mastermind group that met in different places all over Wimberley. The first Unity service was held in the Harmony House, the Harmony Spiritual Center, April the 6th, 2003, in downtown. Remember the old rock shop? Well, it was that house that was like this. And so what do you call it in airplanes where people have to wait? Shift, you have to sit according, because we were headed downhill. Yes, and it's the truth. It was the truth. And someone donated us this wonderful Baptist podium that was very heavy, and the house went a little closer. Remember, Gigi? It did. And we were worried. So we put the people up high. So we were up here, the podium was down here, and only one person could go down there. So, oh, Lordy mercy. It was wonderful. So I have with me this morning, and I'd like for you to see it after we get into our potluck and all today. This is the first guest registry. And some of the names that I could decipher in here, you may know these people. I'm just jotted down a few of them. Jean and Richard Newsom. Dorothy Knight. John and Leslie Howe. Jane Knaus. Where are you, Janie?
Right there.
Right there. There you go. Rod Hardy, Fran Carroll, Ceci Zenegwa, Sonia Al Herford, Nip Bridges. Now, Nip was a dog. Yes. But that's how it was. That's just what we did. That's what we did. The dogs sat up there with us. Kathy Scott Perry, Glenda Bell, these are all signatures in this book. Zanna James, Johanna Smith, Trish McWaters, all the Wilsons, Buddy, Holly, Reagan, Kelsey, Skylar, and Summer. And we really didn't have a place for them exactly, and they were kind of bored with us. And so they just ran around at the rock shop. That was our Sunday school. That's how we began. Yep. Leah, David, and Nick Norboge, Linda K. Rogers, Kay Edwards, Magdalene Nippert, Leslie Weeks, Dana and Judy Campbell, Kimberly Kabler, Gigi Benno, Judy Herbert. Oh, just fabulous folks. Bev Allen sends this message to each of you this morning. She says, and she wishes she could be here, may the Unity Church of Wimberley continue to provide space for spiritual journey to all who are seeking truth. May harmony, love, blessings forever be with you. May peace, conscious evolution prevail on our earth. Namaste.
So would everyone who's here, who was on that list of names that Jan read, stand and let us thank our founders for this church? If you were on the list Jan read, wow. Thank you. Thank you for what you created. One of the things that visitors often ask us is, how did you get on this land? What they mean is, how can this little church afford this place? It was touch and go for a while, but we own this land ourselves. I think one of the reasons this congregation has such a strong sense of ownership about this church is because many of you own this land yourselves. How we came up with that, how it works, is maybe more detailed than you want to know. But just the idea that a small group of people could claim this beautiful 43 acres and keep it for 10 years since April 1st of 2004 is one of the many money miracles of this church. And David Conway will tell you more.
Wow, this is kind of like a trip back to memory lane. I haven't seen so many people in a long time. Well, when Reverend Ellen asked me to do this, I said, great, I love to talk about how we've achieved in this church. And so I started talking and thinking and what I would say about all the things that we've accomplished. And then a couple of days ago, it dawned on me that I was supposed to do this in a few minutes. Well, I had to create a little aid to make that possible, because instead of having the hour that I normally have in the newcomers group, I only have these few minutes. So whenever you hear dot, 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 that means lots of good information here. Check later after service for details. Okay, are we ready? Now, I really was going to talk about all of those things that Ellen mentioned, but I couldn't work them in, so I put them here later in the talk. But as you'll see, I think the simple explanation is the reason why we've been here for 10 years is God wanted the unity message in this area and on this hill, so he called all of us together to create it. That's how we stayed up here, that's how we got here, and that's how we'll stay. That's what explains how many of these miraculous things over the last 10 years have happened. I remember, dot, dot, dot. Now, if you take a look at those dots, there's a pattern that kind of emerges. You know, it kind of flows through all of those things we've been through. And it turns out that if you were part of it, or you just had a chance to examine those dots, you would see the first thing that happened is something happened, an issue, some kind of a thing that we had to deal with, a challenge. And so the first thing we did was we start talking. What are we going to do? Do we have to leave? No, I'm not leaving. Are you leaving? No, I'm not leaving. So during that conversation, we learned how much that we remembered, I guess, not learned. We remembered how much we loved the message, the place, and the congregation. So that brought us together in love. The second thing we did was we said, okay, we're staying. How are we going to do all this stuff? Well, that shot us straight to prayer and meditation. And of course, through that prayer and meditation, all that energy cleared the way so that Spirit could work in and through us to create the solution. And once that solution was created, remember the feeling, how great it felt when we accomplished those goals? Every single one of them. I can't remember one of them that we didn't end up just feeling spectacular at the end. So we really enjoyed it. So my simple answer, my two-minute answer of how have we been able to stay on this hill for so long is four simple little ideas. Love, pray, create, enjoy. That's how we've done it. Love, pray, create, enjoy. Dot, dot, dot. I want to thank everyone who's been a part of this journey, who has answered the call. Those that are here and those that aren't, will say thank you spiritually to those, because it has been a miracle. Because, wow, look at the wonderful thing that we've created. Happy anniversary, and thank you.
Thank you. Those of you who created the Church Family Ownership Program, David and Sherry Conway especially, although I know you love spreadsheets. They really do. But another of the great decisions this church made early in its history was to hire Mindy Odlin to be the spiritual leader. She is a wonderful speaker, teacher, and writer. She has many talents I don't. She has technical savvy with computers and video. She has brute strength. She does. She and her husband, Sean, met in Outward Bound, and so here they're the ones who hacked out a lot of these trails and moved the rocks and created the land. There's so many great stories about Mindy's 3 years here, and she is here to tell you.
Don't cry, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry. I'm like, that's not your style. What I love about this place is this is a house of stories, you know? And I remember when we first came, and we were had all this drama, like David said, you're trying to figure out, how do we do this? And we kept saying, you know, the church is not the property. The church is not the property. The church is not the property. And we knew that the church was the people. But what this property has given us is a place for our stories to land. And I think this place is more precious than ever because now it's filled with our story, and I think that's why we feel so connected to it. And every time I come here, I'm so moved, not just by the new stories that I see, but to see the stories from the beginning that still live here, and to feel the presence and the love with which those stories all evolved. So I just wanted to, you know, I didn't do the ellipses. I should have done the little dot, dot, dot thing. But I wanted to just, like, pick in the midst of all these stories, like, what are the ones that I really want to share so that as those of you that are new, how many of you are new, like, within the past 6 years? That's new to me. So for those of you that weren't here in the beginning, there are stories here that you see every time you come here that I wanted to share so you know the love that is behind them. So the first one I wanted to share is this piano over here. Anyone know the name of the piano? Trivia time?
Erna!
So when we began our music program, we were meeting in the fireside room because this room was still under construction. And we had a piano in there, which was just part of the church, a little rundown piano. But we didn't have anyone who could play it. So what we would do on Sundays was one of the board members' mother was a piano teacher, and she would record these little hymnals on cassette tape. And we would play the cassette tape and sing along. And it was horrid. It was so bad that one Sunday, we had a guest who was there for the first time. Her name was Shay Gardine. Long red hair, Shay. And we were doing our thing and doing our message, and then that cassette player went, and do-do-do-do-do, we sing along, and Shay finally, she said, "Enough. I can play the piano." And so she got up and she played for us, and we said, "Oh, that's so wonderful. Will you be our piano player?" And she says, "I don't do church. I might be back next week. I might not. If I'm here, I'll play. Otherwise, you know, you're on your own. So that's kind of how it went for about 6 months. If I'm here, I'll play. And she was always here. And she was always here. And she brought so much music to us. It was wonderful. And there came a time where it was time to upgrade the piano. We had this tremendous gift of this beautiful piano that came in memory of the mother of one of our congregants, whose name was? And that's why the piano is named Irma. So in case you're wondering, there's a lot of love. So here's the other trivia question. Anyone know the first song that was ever played on Irma? Irma? Let There Be Peace. Let There Be Peace. Peace song. First song ever played. Shay was in here, and it was all, she's having this special moment, and we sanctified the piano with the peace song. So very, very special memory. Shay is also known because she loved bugs. And one of the things she was famous for is there was one Sunday where there was a scorpion climbing up these stones when we first did the stone stage, and she rescued it during service and took it outside. So there are dot, dot, dot on the Shay stories, by the way. There's plenty of those, too. The other thing I want to share, another story I want to share, is there's a gazebo over here that has been built since Sean and I left. And the story behind the gazebo is a really powerful one. When we first started this church, we dove into prosperity teachings. And one of the first things we did was a vision board workshop. And anyone at that vision board workshop? It was a small group of us. Were any of you there? A couple of you were there. So we were doing our vision boards, and one of the women that was there was Maglin. Maglin was the prayer consciousness. She held prayer consciousness for us all. And she did this vision board, and she had this picture of a gazebo that when we shared, she said, I've always wanted a gazebo. It meant prosperity to her. And, years go by, and she was very ill, and we really all hoped that she would pull through. And when she was in the hospital, one of our members went to her with a catalog of gazebos and said, Maglin, pull through this, and I'm going to give you that gazebo, and you can pick any one you want. Here's the catalog. And she said she couldn't speak at the time, and so she wrote down, she said, I want the one from my vision board. And so the gazebo that we have is an exact replica of the picture that she put on her vision board in the very first early months of our church. So when you're in that gazebo, that is manifestation. That is prosperity consciousness. So you can feel that, and you can learn more about Maglin, dot, 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 if you want to learn about it. Maglin was famous because she was on the board. We had these, like, marathon board meetings, and she was there. She held prayer consciousness. She couldn't care less about what we were talking about. She'd say, I'm going to fall asleep for a little bit, so wake me up when it's time to vote. And we did. Maglin, voting time. Okay. Aye. And then she'd go back to sleep. The other story I want to share is we have these wonderful trails. And you may have seen the sign. There's a trail called Margaret's Trail. So Margaret was someone who was there in the early days. We had not only this facility to have to figure out how do we pull this together, but we had acres that we had to figure out how to be compliant so we're not paying taxes on 43 acres. So we had Margaret White, who was a master naturalist, and she was all into Native American herbs, and she knew about plants, and she knew about the medicinal qualities, and she taught us so much, and she would walk the trails. She'd come to church every now and then, but mostly she'd come and she'd help us with the trails to figure out what we had. You know, all the resources that we had. And in the early days of the church, one of the first real tragedies we had was that she went missing. And it was several days, and the news was out, and nobody knew what had happened. And they found her. She had wandered off, I'm not surprised, off into a grassy area, and was bit by a rattlesnake. And that was our first memorial service, was for Margaret White. And, I thought, she was young and sprightly and just a beautiful soul, and what a better way for her to go. I mean, that's exactly what she would have wanted. She was so into the Native American traditions, like she couldn't have picked a better way. Like, a rattlesnake. That's weird, but yeah, go, Margaret, go. So I considered that my baptism as a minister, because that weekend I had my first spiritual baptism. We baptized 12 of our kids that Sunday. I had my first memorial service, and I also did my first wedding, all in the same weekend, and that wedding was barefoot in the Blanco River. And I'm like, Wimberley's weird, and now I'm weird too because I'm fully immersed in it. So so that's when you walk the trails, you can feel the spirit of those, and there are many who have gone since then, but their spirit lives on with every step that you walk through this property. I also want to acknowledge my story would not have been possible if I hadn't had mentors. And I had two tremendous, I'm so gifted, blessed to have had these mentors. So one of them was a woman named Reverend Linda Pendergrass. And when I first found Unity, I found it through her church. And so when I started this church and she showed up in the back, part of me was like, oh, yes, she's here. And part of me was like, oh, no, Linda's here. Those of you who know Linda. And she would sit in the back during service with her little notepad. And after service, she'd take me out to the back porch. And I remember the first thing she said, because I had been a college leadership speaker, so that's kind of where I came from. And I remember the first thing she said is, I used to have a bottle of water here, and I'd chug it. She's like, you got to get rid of that bottle of water. Don't you get up there and drink bottled water. You need a glass, and you need to drink water from a glass. None of this bottled water thing. So she got rid of my bottled water. She broke the bottled water habit. And she also would give me these really great distinctions, because I was figuring it all out. I had taken, you know, 4T and lessons in truth. That was my qualifications. So she would sit in the back every single week and take notes. And afterwards, she would say, she would give me those tweaks of principle, you know, and anything that I was saying that wasn't completely spot on. I mean, to have someone of her that I respected so much to take me under her wing and give me that, I wish every minister had that kind of mentoring as they're getting started. So that was such an amazing gift. When she joined our church, it's a big deal when a minister joins another church because it's hard to do. And so when she joined here, she said, I want you to know this is a big deal. And it was a big deal for me, too. And she donated this stained glass window here. This hung in her church at Unity of Arlington. It was commissioned by her parents. It's a replica of a stained glass window at Unity Village. And that is a gift from her. So when you see that light shining through there, that is her presence that is here with us, you know, strengthening us and leading us into new things. The other mentor that I was blessed to have, and I know I'm going long, you know, there's more ellipses, but these 10 years would not have happened without, where is she? Sherry Conway. So Sunday morning, I had Reverend Linda Pendergrass taking notes, and then throughout the week, I had a Fortune 500 retired executive teaching me how to run a church. And I still, to this day, I have these Sherry-isms. I have the voice of Sherry Conway that lives in my head that tells me to keep the wheels on the bus. You got to keep the wheels on, got to keep the wheels on. So these are my Sherry-isms. So the first thing she taught me in the early days was to match to capacity, because so much needed to be done. I wanted to make everything happen like right now, and she taught me to, you've got to match to your capacity. We've got so many people. You've got to pace yourselves. So that was one of the great lessons I learned from Sherry Conway. She also would tell me, and this lives in my head, is you can't make them taller.
Yes.
You may want them to be different, but they are what they are. You can't make them taller, so let it go. That lives in my head. And then we'd also celebrate these moments. This is the Sherryism too. She would say, the penny has dropped. Anyone hear Sherry say, the penny has dropped? And what that meant is, it's finally clicked. Whatever it was that we were stuck on has finally clicked. And we would celebrate any time the penny would drop. And it dropped a lot. So we had lots of ahas. And it's so fun to come back and to see the new stories that are getting written. And I love, more than anything, this red wall behind me. Because I don't think you could epitomize the spirit of Sherry Conway better than a warm red wall behind everything that goes on in this church. So thank you to my mentors, and I want to hear all of your ellipses stories too. So may the stories continue. Happy anniversary. God bless.
Thank you. I got here 5 years ago, so this is my turn now. I get to tell my version. When I arrived 5 years ago, obviously I stepped into the middle of something that was already underway. One of those things was the gazebo. It was just starting when I got here, and the men said they were going to build this gazebo, and I thought, you order one of those latticework things off the internet and put it up. They started trucking in these trees. But they built it in 2 years flat. Apparently. No, they did. Well, I think they only worked on it once a month, because after the men's breakfast every month, someone stick around and sort of design on a napkin what they wanted to do and then go out and do it. When visitors tell me how much they love this place or what great energy the church has, I tell them I can't take any credit. It was that way when I got here. I give Mindy a lot of credit because she is a ray of light on the planet. But even before Mindy, there were people who set a joyful intention for this church. I have this theory that the way any church starts becomes its default setting, its DNA. So if an angry breakoff group starts a new church, it's going to be an angry church forever. This one was started in joy. This church has been through a little turmoil, not recently, but it always returns to joy. That is its equilibrium, its natural state. The dinner we had Friday night is just one example. I spent time this week going through some of the church's history. Now, sometimes the history depends upon whom you ask. But Peggy Cole, who can't be here today, she was so sorry, brought me a file of early church history that her sister Nancy Keefe had kept. You know, Nancy died recently. And I found in the file the perfect, pithy history of the church written on the back of a Christmas napkin, probably 2008. And it expresses principle and vision as well as history. So I'm going to read to you from a napkin. I think it's especially important for newer people to hear this because everyone who sees this beautiful land starts coming up with ideas for what could be done here. Let's have a retreat center. Let's be a wedding venue. And the reason no one jumps on those ideas is been there, done that. Tried that early on. And here's what they learned. To get in the light. This says, Unity of Wimberley story. 4104 bought the property, 24 people, then 30, then 49. $854,000 in debt. Plan to run the church with business also, number one, lodge. Number two, wedding and retreat center. 6 months later, struggles. 2005, decided to be a church full-time. Pay the mortgage through tithing. Lessons, number one, running a business pulled focus from running a church. Number two, the demand was too much for volunteers with no paid staff. Three, the reason was fear of losing this place. Four, our truth was faced. We were here for church, and it's about the people, not the building. Cool, huh? That's really all you need to know about why things are done the way they're done. You've probably heard that the minister who succeeded Mindy in 2007 didn't work out, stayed less than a year, and then the church went 9 months without a minister. 9 months, and it was kind of a gestational period. The congregation spent a lot of time talking about who they were and what they wanted to happen here next. Eventually, they got tired of guest speakers every Sunday and decided to hire a temporary minister. I got the impression they were still feeling kind of burned by ministers and skittish about committing to a new one. Meanwhile, I was in Dallas. I had finished 8.5 years at Unity of Dallas, left on good terms, wanted to write. And just as I was finishing the five principles and running out of savings, I got a call from Sherry Conway. I'd never met her, asking if I would be interested in coming to Wimberley. She was the acting church administrator at the time because someone had to keep this place running, and someone still does. And she knew just what to say to me. She said, you know, you'd have time to write. In a beautiful, quiet place. And I still remember where I was standing on the phone. I had gone to San Diego to see my friend Laura Shepherd over Thanksgiving, and I was standing in her kitchen talking to Sherry about coming to the Hill Country. I had not planned to have another church, and no commitments were made over the phone. I said, yeah, well, sure, I'm willing to talk about it. But have you ever had those moments when you just know? I knew by the time I hung up I was going to Wimberley. I really did think it would be temporary. It was supposed to be a year. I'd been here 6 months when the congregation had a meeting without me to decide whether to offer me the permanent job or start a search for a permanent minister. Now, I know ministerial searches are long, expensive, exhausting, and divisive. Avoid them if you can. But I am still flattered you decided to keep me. And I'm grateful, and I love it here. I never get tired of looking out at those hills, especially since Carla washed my windows. I love the way the light changes on the valley. I love the different shades of green on the hills this time of year and that little patch of blue bonnets that pops up every year. I can't believe it's been 5 years. I remember the night I moved in, March 30th of 2009. I have moved a lot. This was the worst move ever from the Dallas end. It was a terrible experience in Dallas. Dot, dot, dot. I was running a We're going to use that. I was running about 2 hours behind the movers, so they were getting here before me. I was just ready to cry. But there was this little group of people waiting for me in the apartment, which is right here. Leslie Howe seemed to be in charge of them. I didn't know any of these people. She got on the phone with the movers and told them how to get here, and then she gave the movers some cookies and let them look at the view for a while. By the time I got here, the movers were gone. All the furniture and boxes had been moved in. Laurie Ross had put a bottle of champagne in the refrigerator. Everything was in order, and I have felt just that cared for ever since. I did notice that the apartment smelled like a campfire. Turned out it had been smudged with sage. I suppose to drive out any evil spirits. But it apparently worked, right? Things have been pretty harmonious, don't you think?
Yeah.
So I am just grateful to be here. I tell everyone what a good fit it seems to be, that you seem to like me just the way I am. I'm always worried I'm not deep enough to keep up with you. So it keeps me reading and studying and learning, which are my favorite things to do anyway. I have been blessed with supportive boards every year, and I am incredibly blessed to have paid staff now. Now realize, when we say staff, we have a few people who work very part-time, some just a few hours a week. Our whole staff amounts to 1.9 full-time people. And they are vastly overqualified. So Sherry Conway, Laurie Ross, if you want anything done, just get out of their way. Caroline Harper, Donnie Spini, who left just this week, I think we wore him out. Jason back there on sound, Jeff Richardson, the man you never see but who fixes whatever needs to be fixed. But one of the best hiring decisions I ever made, and I had to beg for it, was Kit Holmes.
It is true. I came here as a guest musician early in the process, but I was only here a few times. And probably around 2004, 2005, 2006, I was touring regularly as a New Thought musician. I was traveling everywhere every Sunday, someplace new every week. And I think there was a Music of the Heart conference, it was probably 07 or 08. And Dale Worley, I think it was the last one that was here. And I had come down, this is my recollection of the story.
I think it was 09.
You what? 09. 09, okay, so that's all right, that's all right. And and at the Music of the Heart conference, we would do a concert with all the participants and things on the final night of the conference. And I remember coming down after the show, and here was this person and who said to me, "Who are you and why aren't you playing at my church?" And I didn't know who she was, you know. And I continued to do my thing, but I did come back. I started coming back more regularly as a guest in 09 and in 010. And to the point where I was here, starting to be here about once a month. And they did beg. Ellen begged, Sherry begged, several people said, "Do you want to be our music director?" And I said, "No, I am happy doing my thing. I don't want to have to deal with a board. I don't want to have to deal with all the drama. I don't want to have to do anything. I just want to do my music and leave after I make people happy." And then it was early in 2011 that I was here on a Sunday, and they were putting the word out for, you know, "We're going to advertise. We want a music director." And I was sitting in that seat with Cindy right next to me, and I think it was Sherry said, "We are announcing that we are looking for a music director." And as you said, that moment was, and I started crying, and I went, "No." And I sat in the front row, and I was like, "Damn it. I don't want to do this." And I called Sherry the next morning, because it was a potluck Sunday. We went to potluck, and the whole time I was sitting at the table with my head down, thinking, you know, like the wheels, and I was like, we're getting ready to leave the property, and Cindy says, "Do you need to go talk to somebody?" I was like, "No, I don't." And we left, and we talked about it all the way back to Austin. And I'm like, "Well, if it's this, and it's this, and it's this." So I called Sherry the next day, and one of the first things was, "Well, I assume you have a budget." And I could hear her. She's like, "Are you going to say yes? Are you going to say yes?" I was like, "No, not yet." I think we had lunch the next day. And one of the things that I did put into my contract, and I said, "Here's the deal. If I say yes, I'm gonna take one Sunday off a month because I'm going to continue to travel. I'm not going to give that up." And that got put into the contract, and I'm forever grateful. So if you don't know why I'm not here every single Sunday, it's because that is what I do. I get to go other places where I get to tell other people how awesome it is to be here. Okay? Yeah. I sent Ellen asked me for a link to, or I'd sent her a link to a minister from a Center for Spiritual Living out in California, and she wrote me back and she said, "Are all CSL ministers that dynamic?" And I said, "Oh, no." Just like all Unity ministers are not either. And I will say I am absolutely grateful and blessed and honored to be able to work with someone of this caliber and to be able to do what we do for you, to bring you in every Sunday, because I have fun, if you couldn't tell. I have a really good time here with the music every Sunday, and the way that the band has come together and the way things have just sort of organically grown and evolved has just been an absolute pleasure. So I'm not going anywhere except on my Sundays off to go out and do the music and to tell them how wonderful it is here, and to also sort of say, hey, if you're ever in Texas, come to Wimberley because you're going to have a blast. I want to thank you all so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I found a place to land for my music, and it's just been one great ride. So thank you so much, and happy anniversary. Yeah.
Oh, there's more. You're not on yet. We're gonna let them talk now. So it is your turn now. In fact, I'm going to take your mics, if that's okay. Need a couple of mic runners. Is that why you guys are coming forward? Thank you. Okay, so the question was, how did you know this was the right place and the right people for you? Now, I realize the question I pose may not be the one you answer. That's okay. But if you have something you would like to tell about the church, this is the time. You're not on yet. Jason's working on it. There you go.
I knew the minute I walked in the door in February 2011 that this was the place for me. I always sat right behind Tim and Baxter, and I just felt I loved this home, and that's it.
It's been that way every, you know. Oh. What a blessing.
oh my gosh, it's already noon. No wonder Kit was going to play music. What? You told the kids we're running late. Let me just ask, are you starving or is it all right if we go on a little longer? Okay, we'll go on. Jan, go.
Well, I came from a very beloved community in Houston for Centers for Spiritual Living and spent years, Stanley and I on Sunday mornings would listen to talks from my former minister. And I just kept missing community. I need community. So my friend Susan Cranshaw and I decided that we would just check out all the places. And she, one weekend came, we were out of town, and she said, Jan, you need to go to Unity. And I said, really? And this is another beloved community, and I'm so grateful to be here and love so many of you. It's just a wonderful congregation.
Thank you.
Sonia.
I have to say that when I found Unity with Carolyn Wenzel in Clear Lake in 1987, it virtually changed my life. And then Linda Pendergrass in Austin, and when we decided through Mastermind to create a place that we could gather with Unity principles, it was a visible demonstration of intention and divine order. And it's just amazing from our humble beginnings in April of 03 that this sacred place is here, and I am eternally grateful. Thank you.
Okay, try to make it really quick. When I first drove up this hill, we just started. I didn't even make it to the church. I was in... parked, and David Conway was showing me our alternate parking lot. And when I saw David, I won't go into it, but he reminded me of a friend of mine, and it just clicked. It was something more profound than that. So just David Conway just did it for me before he was a church. Two more things I'd like to point out. One was, I remember when Kit was saying, no. But you know, yes. But you go, no. Because at the time, this no came to me, that little short fight. It was real short because I knew the answer. I was not working at the time. I was a self-employed architect. And I didn't really want to do another McMansion, and I know God knew that, but I needed the money, and so I wasn't working, and so we're at this point where we're trying to raise $40,000 to hold on to this land. And I just looked up, and I said, well, there's more than 40 people here. If everybody gives no! If everybody gives $1,000, no! I'm not even working, but I did have these checks from my credit card that said, you know, you can write a check for whatever you want. And I wrote a check for $1,000 when I wasn't even working, and it's like, okay, it's all yours, God. I can't tell you how everything in my life has just fallen into place, especially the financial part. It is amazing that you answer those when you hear the yes and your natural man says no, just go with the yes. Okay.
Thank you. Lee, I'm gonna cut you off
okay.
So we can keep going. Roger.
Okay, very quickly, in 2005, my wife Diane and I were living in Friendswood. We went to Carolyn Wenzel's church as well. And we had no thoughts of moving. And we came to Wimberley for a casual weekend when the butterflies were flitting around. And we knew there's a Wimberley we knew there was a Unity Church here, and we came here on Sunday. And I remember being in the bed and breakfast, which is really just across the valley, saying, this would be a cool place to live. And a few months later, we bought our house about a mile down the road, and we've been here ever since.
Yeah.
Awesome.
When I first visited here, I think I was on the second row. We didn't have any carpet. There was no stage. We made a stage, but it was flat. And we got around to singing the Lord's Prayer, because we did that back then. And Magdalene was sitting in front of me. And we finished the Lord's Prayer, and she looked around, and she said, "You need to be singing up there." And so I was. And worked with Shay quite a bit. And then there were, I think, four people. Sherry Conway, Sandy Stevens, Karen, and Judith. And they said, "Can we start a choir? Can we start a choir?" I said, "Well, yeah, there's four of us. Let's do it." So that was in September. And by December, we had 22 people in choir. And Ron was in choir at the time. And we did a Christmas cantata. You know, we had to, yeah. No, we had 22 by Christmas.
Oh, okay, good.
So it was a lot of fun.
Wow.
Very quickly, from that lean-to on the creek, I was pushed to the front of the room to lead the peace song, only because I could carry a tune, and I didn't even know what the peace song was. So I want to let y'all know how lucky you are to have gone from me kind of sort of looking at Sonia's mouth for the words to the peace song to what you have today. It is a freaking miracle.
Thank you, Gigi. Judith, I'm going to let you be the last one.
I moved here from California in February 2005, and the furniture hadn't even gotten to the house yet. And I looked in the paper and was shocked to see a Unity of Wimberley Church, because I'd been to one in California, the Pyramid, Houston. Anyway, I came here the very first Sunday. Mindy was up front. She had this big blue vase with blue water, no, clear vase, blue water, and she said, "We need $40,000 by 40 days, and I looked around the room, there wasn't even 40 people, and I thought, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen. Well, needless to say, in less than 40 days, we had more than 40,000, and I thought, okay, this is where I want to be. That very same Sunday, I was introduced to Shay. And she said, "Where do you live?" And I said, "Wood Creek North." She said, "Okay, I need a ride home." And so we got in my car, and she said, "Can you carry a tune?" I said, "Yeah, I can." And she goes, "Sing something for me." And I was in my car, I'm driving, and I don't even know how to get back where I lived. And she's giving me directions, and I'm trying to sing. And she goes, "Okay, you're in the choir." And that is exactly how it started. Magdalene was the second friend, and she said, "I'm cleaning the church. We can't afford a janitor, so come help me." So not only was I in the four people choir, then now I'm the janitor. After a while, my son took over, but he got paid to clean here for a while. And it's just been the wildest ride ever. And I look around and I see all the familiar faces and then a bunch of the new people, which is just does my heart. If we don't have kids, we will die. We don't have a church. Look at all the kids that are here now. We had maybe two back then. And I'll tell you something. I come here, and I've said this before, when you walk in the door, it's like being on the red carpet. Everybody knows you. Everybody loves you. And you love all of them. And I told that to Ellen, and she said, "You've just described heaven."
Aww.
That's right.
Thank you. If you ever forget what this church is really about, it's written on the wall. This is Chakra Man. It was created by Peggy Cole, Nancy Keefe, and Diane Marion. The church had been working as a group on what was important, what they thought the DNA of the church included. Have you ever read it? I'm going to read from the bottom up. It kind of follows the chakras. Youth education, sacred ground, energy, community, food, family, transformation, infinite potential, acceptance, diversity, inclusive, like-mindedness, beautiful fellowship, unconditional love, peaceful, my favorite, Living Alleluia. Humor, oneness, spirit, unity principles, healing, spiritual growth, divine consciousness. That's what the church is about. So let's close this part of our celebration with a prayer of gratitude. We know that God is all there is, that we are one with each other and with the divine, that we are God expressing on the earth. We affirm abundance and blessings for our church's future as in its past. Grateful for the founders that brought this idea to fruition. Grateful for this beautiful land and its promise for the future. Grateful for each person who has walked through those doors, those who stayed, those who came and went, those who are still with us in spirit. All are part of who we are today. We are a spiritual community on a holy hill. We see nothing but bright times ahead for Unity of Wimberley. We are a living Alleluia. Amen.
Let's take a deep breath and just do that big Alleluia, shall we? Alleluia. Alleluia.
Me fly.